This is the other kind class. It is not a panel as it is listed currently in the schedule. What I mean by other kind is the dragons, werewolves, fae, creatures of that sort and ilk that people sit there and say, oh, how do you know that they're real? Well, prove to me they're not. The person you're sitting next to could be a dragon or a fae, and you'd never know. Unless they wanted you to know it. So, when people sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I have this great dragon, I'm sitting there going, really? So, what's this dragon look like? And is it on this plane of existence, or is it on another plane of existence? Because, you know, kind of curious, because most of the people that I know who are dragons don't advertise that they're dragons. Most of the people I know who are fae don't really advertise that they're fae. And a lot of people get really weird looks when they look at people and say, there's something different about you, but I can't place my finger on it. And what they're actually sensing is that that person is an other kind, and they just don't know it. And I get that from a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of other people around here get it from a lot of people, too. This class does not tell you how to deal with them. Well, it does kind of tell you how to deal with them. But it doesn't really tell you how to deal with them because, well, you know, each kind of other kind is different. And they have their own rules and ways of dealing with things. For instance, the Fae. If you make a bargain with them, make sure that you, before the bargain is struck, outline everything, try to eliminate all the loopholes. Okay, because if there's a loophole, they will exploit that loophole.
They also like to pop up in bars and
speculate. Oh, yeah.
I had a very leprechaun.
Yeah.
Years ago Free Spirit. Okay, walking through the woods, and all of a sudden, in the grass, and there was two of us, mm-hmm. So both of us saw it. There mm-hmm. he was,
oh, yeah.
In green.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Yep.
We waved hi back, and then he disappears.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Friend goes, well, was that what I think it was? Yes, that was a leprechaun.
Well, or it could have been any kind of woodland sprite, but, you know, still, it's, yeah. That could have been any woodland sprite. And it didn't necessarily have to be a leprechaun. However, having said that, yes. Forest colors. And who's to say that person, that particular fae, who's to say that that particular fae doesn't like top hats? I like top hats. I do. But, you know, the Fae are very much sticklers about rules. If you enter into a bargain with them, follow the rules. Because if you break the rules, oh, it's on. You know, they get nasty. If you can catch a Fae breaking the rules, oh my. Okay, you can call them on it. And they'll be like, okay, yeah, I broke the rules, therefore I owe you a forfeit, and, well, we're going to have to decide what your forfeit is now. You don't have to decide right then and there what the forfeit is. They owe you a forfeit. Get them to agree to the fact that they owe you a forfeit. Well, they actually have to agree that they owe you a forfeit. However, they don't get to pin you down as to what that forfeit is. You can sit there and say, I will name my forfeit later when I wish to use it. However, it will, you cannot make it something they cannot do for you. Or they will just go, can't do that, sorry, you lose. Dragons, they also will follow rules. They are very, very, very good at making bargains. And they will generally try to work it so that the bargain is in their favor with lots of loopholes. The more loopholes that they can leave open, the better they like the bargain. So if you're going to bargain with a dragon, make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. Werewolves are a little bit more chaotic than the other kinds that roam the world. They will enter a bargain with you. They may follow the rules if they're feeling generous. Most of the time they'll look at you and go, "Yeah, yeah, we can enter that bargain." Get them to swear to it and get them to sign in blood, because it's the only way you're going to be able to keep them to honor their agreements. Now,
can I go back to the leprechaun?
Sure.
Part of the reason why he was saying that it could be a different kind of fae rather than a leprechaun, do you find, Larry, that sometimes they will appear to you as you will recognize them, not
yep.
as they are?
Yeah.
Most likely.
So a fairy would be likely to show up and be like, "Look, I'm Tinkerbell," before they show you their true form, so that you can
right.
know what it is you're looking at, because it's something you recognize.
It's
so
not.
It could be a woodland sprite that showed as a leprechaun so that you could identify it as other.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they're not so much shapeshifters. The fae use something that is called a glamour. And the glamour is more of a mask than anything else. It is a very specific magic that the fae do. And they are much more likely to show you something that is less frightening or less otherworldly at first than what they actually are. Because fae are very secretive. They don't show their true face to many people. When they do, it means that you have earned their trust enough that they are willing to show you who and what they are. Most of the time, you get a stereotype. You know, the whole, "Oh, look, I'm a fae. I look like Tinkerbell." With the gossamer wings, the cute little faces, the pixie ears. That is not what they look like.
And then they bite your face off.
Yeah. And with the fae, there is two sides. And most people call them the Seelie and the Unseelie courts. Mm-hmm. And even the fae call themselves the Seelie and the Unseelie courts, because it's just something that, you know, is easier for humans to identify with. And the Seelie court is much more likely to be friendly to humans than the Unseelie court. However, having said that, that does not mean that the Seelie court is your friend. It just means that they're much more likely to deal honestly with you than the other court.
Seelie court?
The Seelie court.
What Seelie court?
S-E-E.
S-E-E-L-I-E.
What are they?
They're all types of fae.
Oh, okay. They're just... Yeah. Just
lumping
them all together.
Right. Well, okay. A little diversion as to what the Seelie and the Unseelie court are. The Seelie court and the Unseelie court used to be all the same until humans got smart enough to realize that they were dealing with other kind. And once that happened, there was a schism among the fae kind to say, how do we deal with humans? Do we deal with them as if they are, you know, sentient and somewhat equal to us? Or do we treat them as if they are stupid apes that came down from the trees and developed some kind of intelligence? The Seelie court said, well, you know, these people are outnumbering us pretty damn quickly, so let's deal with them like they are semi, you know, equals. The Unseelie court went, you know, they're apes. They climb down from the trees. They used to go, ooh, 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 and bang sticks together. Why the hell are we going to treat them like equals? So there was a split.
Just like heaven and hell.
So the Seeley Court understands that humans are much smarter than they look most of the time.
Some of them, anyway.
Most of the time. The Unseelie Court look at humans and go, yeah, see, we can still pull one over on you. We can still get the better of you. And, you know, the Will-o'-the-Wisps that drown travelers in the bogs of Ireland, those are part of the Unseelie Court. The Seelie Court Will-o'-the-Wisps are much more likely to lead you to safety because you never know. There might be something you can do for them later on. And they can sit there and go, well, you know, you were following me the other day and I led you to safety, so, you know, maybe you can help me out here. So that is the difference between the Seelie and the Unseelie Court. Having said that, you will not be able to differentiate, except for by attitude and demeanor of the Fae that you're dealing with, what court they're in. And half the time, even then, you won't be able to figure it out. Because an Unseelie Court Fae is going to look at you and be like, oh yes, I'm Seelie.
Trust in me.
Trust me. I would I tell you a lie? Look at me, I'm so innocent. Does this face look like it would lie to you? Meanwhile, the fangs are sitting there with the poison saliva dripping down, you know? So, just saying. Dragons, on the other hand, are very much a neutral species. They could care less. You know, if you piss them off, you're tasty. You go well with ketchup, barbecue sauce, you know, crunchy. And if you're wearing armor, it just makes it that much easier to cook you. You know, it's
your own cooking
container. You know, you come in your own pot. I like your giggle. So that there was a famous picture once of a dragon with the can opener.
Yes.
And the knight looking at it being very afraid. Because it's like, oh, he's figured out that if he uses a can opener on my plate, he can get to me easier.
It's like lobster.
Yeah, it is. Also, dragons are much more likely to interact with humans just because
they're bored.
Yes,
they're bored. Humans are very entertaining. One of the famous lines that I've heard from a dragon is, stupid human tricks. To which my response was, what do you mean by stupid human tricks? Do you see what that fool did?
They must like watching ridiculousness on television.
Oh, they, you know what?
Reality shows.
Reality shows are a trip to them. I personally do not watch Jersey Shore. I do not understand Jersey Shore. But a dragon friend of mine looked at me and was like, this Snooki character, she's a hoot. She got pregnant and then bitch slapped somebody. I loved it. And I'm like, what? Who's Snooki?
Snooki.
You know, I don't watch a lot of television. I have other things to do. But, you know, it's one of those things that dragons like to be entertained. The more entertaining you are, the better off it is for you.
Likely you will be dinner.
No, they won't. It's they're not really looking to eat humans because, as I understand, humans don't always taste the best. They're much more interested in that big fat juicy cow. Just bring it by so they can slaughter it and eat it. And you know, what's with this burning of the meat thing? To which my response is, well, you know, the human authorities say that if you go to a restaurant, they have to burn the meat. They can't serve it to you raw. I understand this concept. But why burn the meat? I'm not going to explain it to you. You know, go to the sushi bar. They'll serve you raw meat, all the raw meat you can want. Just don't try to eat the chef. The other great thing about dragons is they are very entertaining in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get them drunk and get them talking, they will tell you stories. Or get them talking. If you can get them to forget for a half a minute that they're not dealing with a human, they'll tell you some fascinating stories. They love to talk. One of my niece's favorite things that she says is when you ask what a dragon says, blah, 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 blah. Because dragons have diarrhea of the mouth.
That is what dragons say.
Yeah, what do dragons say? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it doesn't matter what the blah, blah, blah is. It's like as soon as you get them talking, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, uh-huh, mm-hmm, uh-huh. I'm so glad that you're talking because that means that you're not plotting my demise. Or you're plotting a way to make me your entertainment for the evening. And, you know, dragons have fascinating concepts of what should be. They understand human politics. Why? Probably because they invented it. Let's pit two people against each other because it'll be funny. Doesn't matter what two people. Politics is probably one of the greatest combats in the world that doesn't involve any bloodshed. It's hilarious to dragons. Take our last election. My dragon friend was like, hey, y'all are stupid. Y'all should not vote for those two. Yeah, well, you know, voting for him or voting for him is the choices that we make. And, you know, if we vote for anybody else, the Electoral College is going to vote for Obama. So, you know, it comes down to two choices, really. And
there was a third one, but he didn't get any votes.
No. There were four. There are four people on the national ballot.
There were four?
Yeah. There was a Green Party. There was an Independent. There was the Republican and the Democrat. However, as far as the Electoral College is concerned, there is a Republican and a Democrat. If you vote for the Independent or you vote for the Green Party, you really were voting for Obama. You just got confused.
Why would it go to
American politics?
American politics.
The Electoral College is not a direct popular vote.
Correct.
Okay.
The Electoral College is run by 507 politicians who are in Congress. Having said that, your Electoral College is made out of Republicans and Democrats. Mm. If you were voting for the Independent or the Green Party, you're voting for Obama because, well, you really were confused about which one you were voting for.
Well, why would it go to him rather than the other guy?
Because Republicans don't want the Independents or the Green Party. They're too mamby-pamby liberal for them.
Back
on topic. So the dragon was like, yeah, you are crazy.
Okay, what's the difference between an otherkin and a walk-in?
A walk-in? As in somebody who comes into your body and basically possesses you for a short time?
No, it's not possession.
He doesn't know what a walk-in is.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. What do you mean by walk-in?
Sometimes, you know, people don't like their bodies, they don't like their lives, but they don't really want to die and waste the body.
Okay.
So they make an agreement with another spirit.
Okay,
to trade places instead of completely dying and wasting the body. And that spirit will come in and trade places.
Just to add on to that, some people diagnosed with identity personality disorder, MPD, like Fred was, have walk-ins.
Okay.
I said some people. Yeah. My ex-husband was an MPD, and he had a couple of walk-ins.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's how I know the concept.
As I've heard it, some people kind of
like to walk in. They could be even from another planet, a spirit from another planet, trading places with an Earth person spirit.
That I wouldn't. Okay. Personally, I would call that possession. Because it is not the spirit of the original body. Well, or the original spirit of the body.
If the original spirit of the body is agreeable to leave and have the other spirit come in.
still, it is a possession. It is a voluntary possession, but it is still a possession. It could be considered channeling by some people, but it is still, yeah, it's a little more permanent than channeling, but, you know, the problem with that is that when you're switching bodies with somebody else, you are still tied to your original body.
Yes,
you are still tied to your original body. Because you cannot fully break the connection between the spirit and the body without the body actually dying later. The body can only be sustained without a spirit by mechanical means.
Not true.
We're kind of veering off the topic.
So
I should have did a panel on that one.
I think that would make a back to other
camp. That would make a very interesting panel or a very interesting class.
It would.
I think you should volunteer to do one next year.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
But again, like I said, that I personally consider that to be possession. Now, is it voluntary possession? Oh hell yeah. You know, and there is nothing wrong with a voluntary possession. Unless, of course, the entity who is doing the possessing turns out to be completely and totally psychopathic and evil, in which case, you know, needs to be dealt with in such a way as, you know, does not harm the original spirit and prevents it from harming society further. Other kin are actually much more likely to say, yeah, no, this is my body, go away. Am I going to switch bodies with you? Oh, hell no.
No, other kin is reincarnated into a human body.
Or are...
I did. No, he did. You're talking about other kind.
Other kind.
Reincarnated as humans.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Other kind are born what they are, but choose to camouflage themselves as humans or just be, you know, on the other side of the veil and able to pop through to say, hello, here I am. And I personally, I can't say that they're not humans on this planet that are masquerading as shells for other things.
What is your body about
the shell? Exactly. And, you know, if you choose to step on this side of the veil and your body undergoes a transformation from, say, dragon, fey, whatever, to human, that is probably because this side of the veil, we are not ready to accept something that has the wingspan of a 747, weighs about 50 metric tons, breathes fire, and goes, you are tasty. Do not piss me off. Oh, and yeah, your radar can't see me. You know, we're not really able to deal with that because the first thing we're going to do is go, kill it!
How many other kin have you known?
Other kin? Lots. Other kind? There are a few.
Okay, so you say other kin and other kind.
Mm-hmm. Other kin are the ones who have been reincarnated as humans.
Other kind?
Other kind are the full-fledged actual things.
Without the shell.
Without the shell.
That manifests as a cell.
Mm-hmm.
Like the leprechaun, I saw.
Like the leprechaun.
Yeah. But still a leprechaun, but not in a human shell.
Right. Or, you know, it could be that, you know, the leprechaun chose to show itself to you as a leprechaun and shows itself to other people as a human just to protect itself. Because the other kind know that humans are crazy. Okay? The other kind know that humans are going to go, oh shit, that's a monster, let's kill it first. Before it goes, hey, that's neat, let's ask questions. You know, we do not react to something that... Yeah, humans do not act to the different than ourselves well.
Very nicely put.
You know, if we actually came across a real alien species from outer space, the extraterrestrial type, I would tell that sucker, run as far away as you can.
Before you get dissected.
Before the government finds out you're here, because the first thing they're going to do is they're going to lock your ass up and then cut you to pieces to find out what makes you tick.
That's right. Isn't that horrible?
It's human.
It's human. You know, and I do teach another class which says that there are five levels of humans, which we're not going to go into here. Yes, five levels of humans, which we're not going to go into here because it really does not have an exact bearing on other kind.
So, any other kind of other kind?
Yeah, there's all sorts of other kinds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, seen three kinds so far.
You know. Okay. There are unicorns that can walk around. There are the elemental spirits that can manifest themselves as human and walk around and say, hey, you know, why are you all so screwed up? And they don't put it quite that way because they're much more diplomatic about it. Okay.
Not possessed by the salamanders. I had to get depossessed.
Well, and again, that's more of a possession. Mm-hmm. Other kind really are loath to possess somebody from the other side of the veil. Because it's a lot harder to actually control the person. Two, when you punch that kind of hole in a veil to be on the other side of the veil and possess somebody on this side, it has a tendency to weaken the veil a bit, which lets other things through as well. And, you know, there are critters out there that are much more likely to sit there and go, oh, you're going to go possess that person. Good. While you're possessing that person, I'm using the hole you punch through this veil to go sneak over there and have some fun. Yeah, some of the stories from Russia and Germany are very much about other kind. Baba Yaga. Bitch was crazy, but she was other kind. And yeah, not a very nice other kind at that.
What kind of other kind? She sounded like a witch from the story.
She actually... She actually was on Sealy Court.
Oh.
Yeah. Because she took what used to be a chicken and was able to, through her fey magic, change what was into what she wanted it to be. It was all a natural thing, but still, it's weird stuff. Uh-huh. And, you know, there are the werewolves of the Black Forest, the unicorns of the Black Forest, which people very often forget about.
Unicorns of the Black Forest are almost as vicious as the werewolves.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not your white, pretty, shiny...
Oh, no, no, no.
Goes up. No, they might be white-colored.
Yeah.
But they are just as vicious as the werewolves. And those are some of the stories. They're in folk tales from the Black Forest.
Yeah.
What's the Black Forest?
The Black Forest.
It's a region in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's an old growth forest.
And that is probably
Okay. Like it's Sealy, unsealy.
It is a... The best way to put it is a neutral grove. It is neither Sealy nor Unsealy. However, the Unsealy have a tendency to be a little bit more fanatical about protecting it from what they call interlopers, which is us humans. there is also the Selkie. Selkie are very much other kind. the what the hell are they called? The whales that can go back and forth. I forget what they're called.
The Selkie or the seals.
The Selkie or the seals. There's the whales that can, you know, change, become humans to walk on land for a little while and see what they can do about, you know, protecting the seas and the waterways. Mermaids are definitely other kind, but it is very rare to see a sighting of a mermaid nowadays because they have learned not to trust humans in the slightest bit.
I can imagine.
Oh yeah. You know, they used to help from, if I remember the story, all the stories correctly, they used to help dolphins shepherd lost ships and shipwreck victims to shore. And had no problems doing so until humans turned on them, and then they were like, yeah, we're going to lure you to your deaths now. We just don't like you anymore. Well, and part of the problem was is that when you have old world creatures who meet new world concepts, and their new world concepts give them a modicum of willpower and magic on their own, and they say you can't possibly exist, and because you are here, you must obviously be a demon, therefore my faith will protect you and drive you out of your natural habitat. You know, if something came down from the heavens and said, oh, you can't possibly exist, and because you're here, you must be a demon, and I'm going to chase you out of where you live, what's the first thing a human's going to do? Oh, really? Let me go get my shotgun and blow you away. Well, if humans can do that, what makes you think that other kind are going to react the same way? You know, the other kind are very much very protective of their own. They have a lower birth rate because they don't breed as often. Therefore, they are much more protective of their species than humans are. And if you wrong one of them, it gets around real quick. Real quick. Yeah, you could be like your leprechaun. Had you actually done something to harm him, word would have spread far beyond the scope of what you would think to every other kind that, hey, this person, no. Don't trust them. Don't have dealings with them. And the unsealing court would be like, oh, really?
Well, Danko, we only weighed two.
Uh-huh.
And right after that, we found a beautiful pink antique bottle.
See? There you go.
Waving counts as positive interaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi. And the converse, if you're nice to it, it also spreads.
Yes.
That's what we did. We just kind of like that. We went, that's real. I'm really seeing. I go, yeah, that's where I would call a leprechaun.
Yeah.
Wait, hi.
Yeah. So the convention of other kind, it's really hard to pin down what another kind is. It's everything that is mythical and fantastical about our planet that has been, that has just, as far as I can tell, gone into hiding as soon as mankind took over the planet and went, yeah, since we don't feel like being chased out by you, we're going to camouflage ourselves. We'll move amongst you. We'll try to learn how to be like you without being you so that we can live in peace and safety and harmony. You know, you got people like the old man on the mountain who everybody says is crazy because he lets wolves on his property, grows forests around his house, etc., but doesn't have to worry about wildfires. Yeah, what makes you think he's not other kind? Going, this is my property. I have purchased this from the foolish humans. They say that this land is mine, therefore it is. It's my growth. I'm going to protect it. And all the animals that come on here are protected too, because if I find you poaching, I'm going to shoot you. What makes you think that person's not another kind? Yeah, that person could be fae for all you know. doesn't have to use a cold iron or steel to shoot you. It could be using bow and arrow. Or it could be a dragon who's not affected by the little cold steel myth that everybody says, you know, oh, fae and other kind can't be touched by Gar, are like horribly allergic or whatever, vulnerable to cold steel. Dragons aren't vulnerable to cold steel. They will be able to be hurt by anything if you manage to get through their armor. They are not allergic to cold steel. They look at it and go, oh, you stabbed me. Now you had to die.
And I had other things on my schedule.
You know,
oh, well.
I had this dinner party, but you're now pissed me off enough that I'm clearing my schedule up just to deal with you. Okay, so yeah. The other kind, bargains are very good. They have long memories. They do have a grapevine. They will talk to others of their kind and say, hey, spread the word. They are also likely, if you make friends with them and you are polite to them and you, you know, interact with them in a positive way, they're very likely to help you out. For instance, you're finding the antique pink bottle in the forest. You were nice to that guy. He probably the first time he's actually been seen and interacted with in a positive way without somebody going, I couldn't possibly have just seen what I thought I saw. So he probably sat there and went, you know what? I like this person. Let me give him a gift.
Showed me where to find the antique bottle, which was worth money.
Yeah. Let me give him a gift. And because other kind gifts from beyond the veil do not hold up well on this side of the veil, he probably made sure you found something on this side of the veil that would have been the same worth as a piece of his gold.
Mm-hmm. Yes, antique bottles, very old medicine bottles, are worth money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dragons will give you a gift of knowledge. Unicorns will give you a gift of health.
Health?
Health. Centaurs will give you... That really all depends on what kind of centaur.
Pegasus.
Pegasus, the winged horses, they are very stingy.
They are?
Oh, God, yes. Little bastards.
But they get to mingle with unicorns to get a Pegasus.
Pegasi are actually much more likely to intermingle with horses and deal with horses directly. Okay? They are very rarely going to interact with a human. When they do interact with a human, it is more than likely because a power that be went and looked at the Pegasus and said, I need you to help this human because this human is going to be important to some of our plans. So then the Pegasus will come directly to you and help you. But they are much more likely to help horses out than they are to help humans. Don't ask me why. I don't know.
And how come in all this mythology you see people flying around on their backs?
There's only one Pegasus in Greek mythology. There's only one in Norse mythology. There's not that many of them.
Yeah.
And they are directed by a power lover god
that said, thou shalt go help this mortal and do what he needs to have done. Now, having said that, in Greek mythology, was it Perseus?
Yeah, Perseus cut off Medusa from the blood.
Yeah, Perseus won the respect and admiration of the Pegasi, of his Pegasus. Okay, because first off, he did not try to trap him as most humans do. He actually took on Pegasus' terms. So, besides the fact that Zeus went, you shall show yourself to him, Perseus won the respect of the Pegasus by taking on the Pegasus on the Pegasus' terms, which granted him a certain amount of loyalty from the Pegasus, which is why when he needed the Pegasus again, he showed up and was willing to bear him rather than be like, yeah, we're going to fight about this one again. Okay. Centaurs usually will give a information of lore or will give you a... I hesitate to say an information about the area that you're in because they're much more likely to tell you what to watch out for in an area. But they're also very much lore masters. You know, one of the most famous ones is... Yeah. Who actually sat there and taught Hercules and a few others, this is what you do. You don't do it this way because this way is stupid. This way will get you killed. You do it this way, you might live. Let's see. What have we not covered? We've covered...
Did you want to talk about the levels of fare? I'm
actually going to leave that be to somebody who is much more... has much more time in the class to talk about the levels of fae. Because, yes, there are levels of fae, and, you know, they rank from the little kitchen sprite that helps out in the kitchen all the way up to princes and kings and queens, which is another class entirely. One that I'm not going to go into.
But you need to teach.
Give
them
2 years.
Give me 2 years, please. Because as it is, I'm dealing with the dragons right now. Yeah, it's fun in all of its own. And yes, dragons have their own court.
Yes, they do.
And it's fun dealing with that court. Let's see, we've covered fae, we covered dragons, we've covered werewolves, we covered... Vampires are actually... They are other kind and not. You have your natural vampires who very rarely will you ever know that you're around a vampire of the natural vampire kind. The other vampires are vampires of the psychic blend or the energy stealing kind. And they are much, much easier to identify. Mm-hmm. And again, with vampires, be careful how you bargain. Because vampires don't bargain for favors. They bargain for services. And services could be anything from blood donation to...
Donations.
Yes, blood donations. To, you know, providing them with a safe harbor should something go wrong with the way they're dealing with the world. And they very, 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 very much are sticklers on hospitality. Very much so. Huh? Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I've missed. Let's see, we've done vampires.
Dwarves?
Well, dwarves and gnomes are more... Yeah, they're not even really earth, other kind. They're really not. Dwarves and gnomes aren't really other kind, but they...
I love yes. The Sharpie of redaction from Howard.
Yeah.
Dwarves are a variant on the human race.
Yes, dwarves are a variant on the human race. And gnomes, while not exactly humans, have kind of, sort of become more human than they have fae by kind of, sort of mingling with the dwarves. That's a good way to work around that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trolls. trolls. Trolls are, for the most part, to be considered unseelie court fae. They are much more likely to be with the unseelie court than they are with the seelie court. There are exceptions, of course. And most trolls, when you have dealings with them, it pretty much is like the riddle of the whole, you know, three billy goats. It very much, that is very typical of trolls.
Gargoyles
are, well, yeah. How to explain gargoyles in 5 minutes or less?
Quick question.
Sure.
Are they considered underworld demons?
No, gargoyles are not actually demons.
No.
Gargoyles are actually... while they are not other kind, they are not of a natural bent. They are supernatural creatures, and their sole purpose, the sole reason for their creation was to be protectors. The whole thing about gargoyles and stone was because gargoyles got cursed a long time ago, very long time ago, by the Fae. And I have that from a Fae mage. The reason being that gargoyles are stone when most people see them is because a fae mage was trying to access an area that the gargoyles were protecting, and the gargoyles prevented the fae from doing so. And he said, well, I don't like this game. Therefore, I'm going to turn you to stone when people see you so that you cannot keep people from moving about freely. However, having said that, gargoyles will still protect an area. The reason you have gargoyle statues on churches is because anything truly evil trying to enter that church will hear the supernatural screams of the gargoyles, and it will stun them. That's why they've got gargoyles on churches. If you look on some of the older government buildings, they have gargoyles on them too, because the Masons understood a gargoyle statue will be inhabited by a spirit of a gargoyle, especially one that has been destroyed, and it will protect that building from anything truly evil entering it. So while they're not other kind, they can be considered other kind because they still are there, but not in a way that most humans see them as. Are there any questions in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the class?
I have a question, but sure. It needs to be personal after class.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been Other Kind. I'm Spawn, and thank you for taking my class.